1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's stand in honor of reading God's word, if you would. Very familiar scene here for most of us. If you've been around church, you've heard this story many times. David and Goliath, and going to look at that tonight. Verse 38, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38. Going to start reading there. If you have that, say amen, wave at me, do something. Let me know you're there. All right. All right, if you have your Bible, it'll say this. And Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. He took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I'll smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give you into our hands. I want to preach on this evening. We need some more giant killers. Well, I love our nation. Those of you that are older, I'm sure your heart is with mine. It's broken. I never thought I'd see a day when the thoughts were it's all right for males to go in a female restroom. Where the homosexual lifestyle would be accepted as normal. I never thought I'd see a day when Christianity was so disdained here in America, where you and I are considered by the present administration in the White House as you and I are considered that we are just as dangerous is the Muslim terrorist. That we are not friends of this nation, we're enemies of this nation. That we are extremists. Where religion is rampant, churches are no more than social clubs. The things that are accepted in Christianity today. I never thought I'd see a day like this. Because of those things, can I say, folks, we've got to have some more giant killers. Let's pray, and we'll look at the message. Father, as we come and bow before you, please, God, I've got to have your help. Lord, you know my heart. I want to be a help and a blessing. God, unless you come and fill me with your Holy Spirit, then God, I'll not be able to get across the message that you've laid upon my heart. Please direct my thought and my mind. Help me to be mindful, Lord. God, please use the message now, please. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. What a story we have here with David. Man, just a youth, the Bible says. Good to see these young men sitting down front. Amen, I like that. But just a youth, somebody that almost a lot of folks are just right off. Yet David had grown up with his brothers, and it was apparent, I believe, as we read the story of David, he had walked with God in a way that his brothers had not. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a young man that had obviously surrendered and yielded himself to God, to walk with God, to spend time with him. No doubt when it came to this day, as Jesse had told David to go down to the battle and to see what was going on, to check on his brothers, and he gets there, and his oldest brother just mad at him. You can understand the emotion. David is talking in a way that the rest of the brothers or not, he's talking in a way like, what are y'all doing? Why are we just sitting here? This Philistine defied God. And I see a lot of parallel in between that and today's Christian. Many of us just sit. Though they defy our God, we're not fighting like we ought to. Just kind of on the sidelines. We're watching others fight. We'll claim to pray for others that fight. But we're not involved in the fight. David determined he wasn't going to be a sideliner. Determined he is going to be a part of the fight. He determined that my God's worth standing up for. Can I say today we need soldiers that are prepared and equipped by God to fight for righteousness, for holiness and truth. To live without compromise, surrendered to God's will and not our own will. To say to Satan, to this ungodly world, I cannot be bought for a bowl of pottage. And I'll fight for my God, my master, my king. So what in... Who is a giant killer? Let me say first, giant killers are not the average soldier. Man, listen to David. Verse 29. Look back here. Verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake unto after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. That's not the voice of an average soldier. The average soldier wants to be the sideliner. Can I say that the truth is this contemporary Christianity that we have today at best does nothing but produce average soldiers. They've got one foot in the world, one foot with God, and the truth is, you cannot live like that. Most Christians today, let's be honest, are below average. Can I say even, and you listen to me now, I'm talking to the crowd that I believe can help see revival in America. And you forgive me, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not trying to be unkind. But if you think the Methodist or the Presbyterians or the Episcopalians or the charismatic crowd, the Catholics, you think that they're going to produce revival, can I tell you, you're dead wrong. It's an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent folks that have the Word of God, that believe the Word of God, and that'll live the Word of God. That's the crowd that we can have revival with. And I'm telling you, in our independent Baptist churches, we've got too many below average Christians. Some of you came this evening and you forgive me. Again, I'm not being unkind. I want you to hear me. Listen, some of you came, you hadn't even talked to God today. You hadn't even picked up the Word of God to let Him speak to your heart. How are you going to be an above average soldier if you can't even do the average thing to equip yourself as a soldier? We've got to have some giant killers. It's sad that what we see in so-called churches today, to where they are no more than just some kind of, again, social club, where there's no expectation of really presenting the gospel. They don't mind helping down to orphanage or building a church building. They don't mind going to a nursing home, or they don't mind doing some of the social, more feed the homeless and things like that. But when it comes to really living a separated life, being a testimony for God, getting out, knocking doors, can I say that most of them have no interest in those kind of things? And the truth is, you listen to me, the battlefield is out there knocking doors. It's not only out there knocking doors, but can I say this? The battlefield's in your house. So if you think Satan's not going to fight to destroy your family, you misread something somewhere. He's the adversary. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. It's a battlefield down at the house. It's a battlefield out at the church. Hey, can I say the truth is, I meant out at the streets. It's a battlefield standing in the pulpit today. Too many times, preacher, might as well be honest about it. Too many times we got folks that are trying to keep you from preaching, thus saith the Lord. I remember, I tell the story quickly and need to move on, but I remember I was just a young preacher and my dad was involved in helping start a new church, and they'd asked me to help, and I was fresh out of Bible college and thought, sure, what an opportunity. And so I got in there helping them, and man, got to preaching, and there was one fella in there who's kind of a leader in the church there, and he had a Ann Richards sign in his front yard. She was running for governor of Texas at that time, and Ann Richards was the governor that brought the lottery and abortion into Texas. I thought, man, if he's got a sign in his yard, he's bold enough to have the sign in his yard. I'm bold enough to get up and just lay into it, amen? So I got up and I laid into it. I said, bless God, you're going to vote for Ann Richards? You're voting as a murderer. You're voting for Ann Richards? You're a gambler. I saw his wife sitting kind of in the back there. I don't know. It's that crowd in the back. It's always a problem, brother. Amen. Notice my wife's back there this evening, huh? I think Brother Reiser's family had an effect on him, on her there. I don't know. But I looked back there, and there she sat. She looked at me, and she went, They didn't teach me what to do about that in Bible college, brother. I never had anybody stick their tongue out at me before. I thought, what in the world? So I didn't know what to do. I thought for a second, you know, you got to move on. I just thought, and I said, bang. I resigned that evening and moved on. Hey, listen, we cannot compromise as giant killers. Amen. Man, whether it's in the preaching, whether it's in our lifestyle, folks, we cannot afford this contemporary Christianity that is creeping into our churches today. Giant killers, not an average soldier. I've got to hurry, please. Giant killers live with a purpose. Look at verse 29 there. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Let me ask you, what are you living for? What is your cause? Is it just about working a job and, I mean, looking forward to retirement and trying to make money? Is that what your purpose is in life? Or are you working that job so that you can support yourself in the ministry? By the way, just because you weren't called full-time doesn't mean you're not in the ministry. I don't care. If you're saved, you're in the ministry. Amen. You ought to be. That job's nothing more than to help support you in the ministry. Amen. And listen, what is your cause? Is it just to gather things, or is it to gather fruit unto eternal life? You living for self, or you living for God? What's your cause? Giant killers live with a purpose. Number three, giant killers know the presence and power of God. Look down to verse 37, if you would. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Man, no doubt, we know the hand of God was upon David. Now, I don't know about you. I've never had to face a lion or a bear. Well, I saw him in a zoo one time. I tried to jump in a bear pit one time at the zoo when I was a little boy, and thank the Lord I didn't make it. There's been a lot of lions and bears, though, I've had to face in the ministry, preacher. You're not saying every one of our lives, there's going to be some things that we're going to have to face that are awful scary. Some things that as we look, we'd think, I'd never be able to conquer this. I stop and think. Excuse me, my wife has gone through cancer twice now. Preacher, that's hard to face. I remember the first time as we sat in the hospital and there was a doctor walked in. We did not know his name. We'd never seen him before. He has been called in to consult, and he walked in the room. Debbie was laying in the bed there. I was sitting beside her. He walks in the room, doesn't introduce himself, didn't say, hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so, or as far as we knew, he is the janitor there. He did have on a white coat. That kind of gave him away a little bit, but he walked in, he sat on the end of the bed, and he said, ma'am, you have a malignant tumor. It's cancerous. And you could have knocked us over with a feather. And I say, that's hard to face. It's a scary thing to face. in my heart, I have to admit, man, I thought, good night, I'm going to lose my wife. I can't afford to lose my wife. God, what am I going to do? I remember leaving the hospital that evening thinking, my God, Lord, what do we do? Had to face some closing a church. Preacher, that hurt so bad. Something I never wanted, never thought I'd do. Man, something I would never, well, I hope nobody ever has to do that. Fights in churches. So many things that we face. Listen, I cannot, I know as a young man growing up, I didn't get saved till I was 23 years old, though I grew up in church. You forgive me, I rebelled against God and rebelled against my parents. And the hurt that I caused, pain, you don't ever know what kind of things you're going to have to face in your Christian life. And can I say, when you go to face them, you better know the presence and power of God as you face those things. That's the only thing that's going to get you through. There's some battles that for your family, hey, Dad, Mom, there's some battles you're going to have to face fighting for your kids. You better know the presence and the power of God as you fight those battles. You'll not do it with some kind of secular psychology. The devil's destroyed so many marriages. Good people sitting in the pew, listening to the preaching of the Word of God 1 week, and the next week, preacher, you don't even know where they are and you can't find them. The next thing you hear, they're divorced. Families torn apart. You better know the presence and power of God. Know where your strength lies. David said there in verse 45, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand." Christians, you listen. If you're going to be a giant killer, you're going to have to know God's presence and his power, and you'll not do it without a daily walk with him. You'll not do it, listen, just hit and miss at church. You'll not know his presence and power without being in this book and being on your knees talking with him. Fourthly, giant killers inspire and encourage others. Giant killers inspire and encourage others. Look down to verse 46. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand." Now this is David talking. "And I'll smite thee and take thine head from thee. I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give you into our hands." Look at verse 50. "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there's no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled, and the men of Israel and of Judah, arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines." Let me ask you, your speech and your life, does it inspire and encourage others? Way too much discouragement in the house of God. You know, the Bible says this, our speech is to be with grace, seasoned with salt. It ought to be, preachers, when we're preaching, that our preaching encourages people, that it inspires people to want to live for God and to want to do more for God. I have to admit, many years I preached, preacher, I was looking to beat folks up. Just honest. It's kind of the way I was raised. That's not the kind of preaching we need. We need preaching that, man, will encourage these young men that say, man, I can be a David. And I want to be a David. Encourage old men, amen? Hey, listen, come on, let's be honest. You got to be a nut at 56 years old to sell your house and start a new ministry. Huh? Something's wrong with you. My wife, I know she's had to shake her head several times and say, what, a fifth wheel, really? Does your life and speech encourage and inspire, or does it tear down? Let me close with this. Turn back to Judges chapter 8. There's a young man over here that I want to compare to David. He's Gideon's boy. Probably know, most of you won't know the name Jether. Jether had been raised up. He had watched his dad as he became a judge there in Israel, as he helped to deliver Israel. If you would, in Judges chapter 8, though, drop down to verse 18. Let me start reading there. I'm going to close with this. Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, these are fellows that Gideon has been chasing, what manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Let me ask you, are you a David or are you a Jether? Jether had a sword, but he wouldn't use it. It's where many of us are today. We got it, but we're not using it. What do you want to be? Don't you want to be a David? Because we've got to have some more giant killers. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Let me ask you, first, are you saved? If you died right now, do you know 100% for sure heaven's your home? If that's your testimony, would you just slip your hand up real quick, right back down? Thank you so much. Is there anybody here tonight that'd say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't want to go to hell, but I'm not sure heaven's my home. Would you let me pray for you? If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and right back down so I can see it? Anybody like that this evening? All right. I'm going to assume that everybody here is saved then. Now let me ask you, are you a giant killer? If God needs you to slay some giants, are you ready? Are you a soldier that's prepared, know the presence and power of God? and ready to be involved in the fight? Or are you a Jether? We need you to be a giant killer. The invitation is going to be given in just a minute. As God speaks to your heart, I pray that you'll respond to him. Father, please take the message this evening. Lord, work in hearts as only you can do. Thank you again for your word. Thank you, God, that you would use us in spite of who we are. God, please take control of the invitation now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.